You remember this time is the retreat. Is the spiritual director is Jesus himself, you know. And he first asked her to read St. John chapter 15. And then the second one is chapter 18. So next time you follow, because that's words of Jesus more close, you know. First John is the one who really close to the heart of Jesus. So whatever, it was simple, but really high level. But spiritual, very spiritual. This time is the title is Conference on Sacrifice and Prayer. Word of Jesus, this word of Jesus. My daughter, I want to instruct you how you are to rescue souls through sacrifice and prayer. You will save more souls through prayer and suffering than through a missionary through his teachings and sermons alone. So we preach, maybe we just preach, but maybe we don't live so much. But Jesus says, if you pray and do sacrifice, more merit than a missionary go to Africa and teach, preach. Of course, it's useful. But for Jesus, more useful is the one who really sacrifice, offer their life. I want to see you as a sacrifice of living love. So we do sacrifice, itself a love, not just because you have to. Which only then carries weights before me. You must be annihilated, destroyed, living as if you were dead in the most secret depths of your being. Nothing of yourself, completely to the will of God the Father, nothing else of yourself. Anything you think of, grudgings, all this not belong to you. Just follow His will. You must be destroyed in that secret death where the human eye has never penetrated. Then will I find in you a pleasing sacrifice, a holocaust, for sweetness and fragrance. That sacrifice means nothing of yourself, only for Jesus. And great will be your power for whomever you intercede. You pray for somebody, just lose yourself. Outwardly, your sacrifice must look like this. Silent, hidden, permeated with love, imbued with prayer. Silent, hidden, permeated with love, full of love, imbued with prayer, prayerful. My daughter, let a sacrifice be pure and full of humility. It's important, humility, that I may find pleasure in it. I will not spare my grace, that you may be able to fulfill what I demand of you. I will now instruct you on what your holocaust shall consist of in everyday life, so as to preserve you from illusions. You shall accept all sufferings with love. Today the gospel, martyr, he works okay, but then he complained to Jesus, why don't you ask my sister Mary to do, follow me to do the order householder. He's not in love. He want to, you know, it's some kind of grudging, no? Oh, do not be afflicted if your heart often experiences repugnance and dislike for sacrifice. Do not be afflicted if your heart often experiences repugnance and dislike for sacrifice. Of course, to sacrifice, not by nature. Humanly speaking, of course, we dislike doing this thing, do that thing. all his power rests in the will. Although humanly speaking, you don't like many things, or you like that person, the feeling. But the will is different. You can put it on the right straight. And so these contrary feelings, far from lowering the value of the sacrifice in my eyes, will enhance it. Know that your body and soul will often be in the midst of fire. Although you will not feel my presence on some occasions, I will always be with you. That's very important. Many times you don't feel the presence of Jesus. Now we do so many things that Jesus doesn't look at you. But says, no, even you don't feel it, I am. This is our faith. We have been of little faith, right? Although you will not feel my presence on some occasions, I will always be with you. Do not fear. My grace will be with you. It's grace. Doesn't mean you have to feel. That's a problem. Third day. My daughter, in this meditation, consider the love of neighbor. Is the love for your neighbor guided by my love? The same love that Jesus loved each one? Or you love it the way you like it? Do you pray for your enemies? If you're angry already, high standard to pray. Do you wish well to those who have in one way or another caused you sorrow or offended you? That whatever good you do to any soul, I accept it as if you had done it to me. The same words of Jesus on the gospel. Whatever you do to the least, you do it to me. So, applications. Oh Jesus, my love, you know that it has only been for a short while that I have acted towards my neighbor, guided solely by your love. You alone know of my efforts to do this. It comes to me more easily now, but if you yourself did not kindle the love in my soul, I will not be able to persevere in this. This is due to your Eucharistic love, which daily sets me afire. So you see, Faustina, all this because adoration before the Blessed Sacrament. It's come to fire. Keep the fire aflame. Don't lose chance to adoration. Don't lose chance to come to Jesus in the Eucharistic presence. Second meditation. Now you should consider my love in this, in the Blessed Sacrament. Here I am entirely yours, soul, body and divinity, as your bridegroom. You know what love demands. One thing only, reciprocity, mutual. He stayed, we stay. You know, at the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus just asked the three disciples, can you stay awake with me for 1 hour? Love expects love. Application. Oh my Jesus, you know that I decide to love you with a love that no soul has ever before loved you with. I would like the whole world to be transformed into love for you, my betrothed. You fit me with the honey and milk of your heart. From my earliest years, you reared me of yourself alone, so that I would know how to love you now. You know that I love you, because you alone know the depth of the sacrifice I offer you each day. Jesus said to me, my daughter, have you any difficulties in this retreat? Any question? I answered that I hadn't. In this retreat, my mind is like lightning. I penetrate all the mysteries of faith with great ease. My master and leader, all darkness disappears from my mind under the ray of your lights. Today, for spiritual reading, you will take the Gospel of St. John, chapter 21. Let it fit your heart more than your mind. So 15, 18, and 21. Important chapters of St. John. During the June devotion, the Lord said to me, "My daughter, my favor rests in your heart, in your heart. When on Holy Thursday I left myself in the Blessed Sacrament, you were very much on my mind." So by the time Jesus served the Blessed Sacrament, or the days, the first Thursday, I mean, the very time, the Last Supper, in the mind of Jesus already exists Faustina. Of course, we too, in his mind. He knows already that you sit here before him. He's inviting. It's a calling. After these words, my love made great efforts to express to him what he was to me. But I was at a loss for words and burst into tears in my helplessness. And she said, "For you, I'm mercy itself. Therefore, I ask you to offer me your misery and this very helplessness of yours. In this way, you will unite my heart." So Jesus, even your poor, sinful, just tell Jesus, you're nothing. Tell him, stay with you. Today, a living flame of divine love entered my soul. If it had lasted any longer, I would have been consumed by the fire, freeing myself of the bonds of the present. It seemed to me that if it had lasted any instant longer, I would have been drowned in the ocean of love. I cannot describe these arrows of love that pierce my soul. Of course, we would like to have this same experience. But first of all, we must cleanse ourselves, first of all. We are too much preoccupied for many things. We are another martyr. She says, "Martyr, martyr, we worry for so many things. This one thing is important." Faustina chose the one. And then Mary Magdalene chose. Conference on Mercy. "My daughter, know that my heart is mercy itself. From this sea of mercy, graces flow out upon the whole world. No soul that has approached me has ever gone away unconsoled." So you come to Jesus, always the grace there. Jesus will not forget anyone, each one of us. "All mystery gets buried in the depths of my mercy." Also, all the sinfulness before Jesus, if you feel sorry, Jesus will take it to his heart. Forget. "All mystery get buried in the depths of my mercy, and every saving and sanctifying grace flows from this fountain. My daughter, I decide that your heart be an abiding place of my mercy. I decide that this mercy float out upon the whole world through your heart. Let no one who approaches you go away without that trust in my mercy, which I also ardently desire for souls. Let no one who approaches you go away without that trust in my mercy, which I so ardently desire for souls." So first of all, we must be full of love, full of the love of Jesus, to share this love with others. You know, we are the apostle. Pray as much as you can for the dying, but your entreaties obtain for them trust in my mercy, because they have most need of trust and of it the least. Be assured that the grace of eternal salvation for certain souls in the final moment depends on your prayer. You know the whole abyss of your mercy, so draw upon it for yourself and especially for poor sinners. Sooner would heaven and earth turn into nothingness than would my mercy not embrace the trusting soul. So Jesus expects us to pray for sin, for dying person. So that's the moment we need most. Because Satan is keep us always occupied with things of the world, so that we forget about Jesus, forget the mercy of the Lord. My resolution continues to be the same, to unite myself to Christ's mercy. Conclusion of the retreat. Last conversation with the Lord. Thank you, eternal love, for your inconceivable kindness to me, that you would occupy yourself directly with my sanctifications. My daughter, the three virtues adorn you in a particular way: humility, purity of intention, and love. Humility, first of all. Humility, humble. If you're angry, you're not humble enough. You're proud. You're grudging, you're not humble enough. You despise people, no way. Humble, humility, purity of intention. Purity of intention. Purity for the glory of the Lord. Nothing else for your glory. Nothing, any human value. Only for the glory of God. And finish. And love. Three virtues. Love the way Jesus loved. Right. Do nothing beyond what I demand of you, and accept everything that my hand gives you. Strive for a life of recollection, so that you can hear my voice, which is so soft that only recollected souls can hear it. You know, that's important. We're not recollected enough. We are not silent enough. That's why we are just wandering. We don't hear anything, because our heart is wandering. Don't tell yourself, I'm not a religious. As if only religious, they have to observe the rule of silence. I tell you, even rule of silence doesn't help you if your heart is not silent. Out of silence, you can be very disturbed. Anger, jealousy, stupid thoughts, gossips. That is not silent. Although you don't speak, but the way you think, the way you judge already, not silence. No judge. Humility. Humble. If you judge, you're not humble enough. You think you're no better or worse. When you judge already, not simple enough. Humility means simplicity. As a child never judge you. Only we judge the child. I could not sleep until midnight today. So deeply was I stirred by tomorrow's renewal of vows. The greatness of God embraced my whole being. June 5th, 1938, Pentecost, renewal of vows. I got up how much earlier than usual and went to the chapel, steeping myself in the love of God before receiving Holy Communion. I silently renewed my religious love vows. After Holy Communion, the infinite love of God swept over me. My soul was in communion with the Holy Spirit, principle is the same, Lord, as the Father and the Son. His breath filled my soul with such a delight that it would be useless for me to try to give even a faint idea of what my heart experienced. So the whole day, wherever I was, and regardless of with whom I talked, a vivid presence of God accompanied me. My soul was drowned in thanksgiving for these great graces. When I went out to the garden today, the Lord said to me, "Return to your room, for I will be waiting for you there. As soon as I returned, I saw the Lord Jesus sitting at a table and waiting for me. He looked at me kindly and said, "My daughter, I want you to write now, because that walk would not have been in conformity with my will." I remained alone and immediately got down to writing. Stranger, at times many of our spiritual directions ask you to go to the garden, walk around and hear the fresh air, hear the birds' songs, and you know, just be quiet yourself. This time, Jesus, you come back to walk in the garden. When I immersed myself in prayer and united myself with all the masses that were being celebrated all over the whole the world, although at that time, I implored God for the sake of all these holy masses to have mercy on the world and especially on poor sinners who were dying at that moment. At the same instant, I received an interior answer from God that 1,000 souls had received grace through the prayerful mediation I had offered to God. We do not know the number of souls that is ours to save through our prayers and sacrifice. Therefore, let us always pray for sinners. Pray for sinners and pray for dying. Today, in the course of a long conversation, the Lord said to me, "How very much I desire the salvation of souls. My dearest secretary, write that I want to pour out my divine life into human souls and sanctify them, if only they were willing to accept my grace. The greatest sinners would achieve great sanctity if only they would trust in my mercy. The very inner depths of my being are filled to overflowing with mercy, and it is being poured out upon all I have created. My delight is to act in a human soul and to fill it with my mercy and to justify it. My kingdom on earth is my life in the human soul. Write, my secretary, that I myself am the spiritual guide of souls, and I guide them indirectly through the priest and lead each one to sanctify by a road known to me unknown." Jesus shared his mission with the priest. That we are not worthy at all. But Jesus worked in this way. Jesus worked in a simple way, humble way. I might not dedicate other people to do things for me. I mean, I'm afraid that he doesn't or she doesn't do exactly what I want. No, but Jesus, no. He entrusted to his priest. No good priest or bad priest. He just entrusts in Jesus' work in this simple way. No. Mother Superior visited me today, but only for a short while. When she looked around, she said that everything was too pretty here. It is true, the sisters are trying to make my stay in the sanatorium pleasant. But all this beauty does not lessen my sacrifice, which God alone can see, and which we see only when my heart stops beating. Not in the beauty of the whole earth, nor even of heaven itself, can blur the torture of my soul, which is real at each moment, though so deep the interior. It will end when you yourself author of my suffering, say enough. There's nothing that could lessen my sacrifice. So the Mother Superior finding everything is beautiful because she's sacrificing. She's suffering, but with joy. Silent. It's very important. Humble. Purity of intentions. And love. That's make things different. The fragrance of heaven on earth. That's what we say. United with the Lord. First Friday after Corpus Christi, June 17, 1938. Right away on the Friday after Corpus Christi, I felt so unwell that I thought the longed-for moment was approaching, dying. I had a high fever and spat out much blood during the night. Yet I did go to receive the Lord Jesus in the morning, but I could not stay for the Holy Mass. In the afternoon, my temperature dropped suddenly to 35.8 degrees. I felt so weak that it was as if everything inside me were dying. But when I steeped myself in profound prayer, I understood that it was not yet the moment of deliverance, but only a closer call for my bridegroom. Continue to suffer more. When I met with the Lord, I said to him, "You are fooling me, Jesus. You show me the open gates of heaven, and again you lift me on earth." The Lord said to me, "When in heaven you see these pleasant days, you will rejoice and will want to see as many of them as possible. I am not surprised, my daughter, that you cannot understand this now, because your heart is overflowing with pain and longing for me. Your vigilance pleases me. Let my word be enough for you. It will not be long now." But still have to go on. "And my soul found itself once again in exile. I lovingly united myself to the will of God, submitting myself to his gracious decrees." The conversations that I hear in the place about worldly matters make me so tired that I nearly faint. The sisters who nurse me have noticed this because it shows outwardly. Today I saw the glory of God which flows from the image. Many souls are receiving graces, although they do not speak of it openly. Even though it has met up with all sorts of vicissitudes, God is receiving glory because of it. In the efforts of Satan, an evil man are shattered and come to naught. In spite of Satan's anger, the divine mercy will triumph over the whole world and will be worshipped by all souls. I have come to know that in order for God to act in a soul, it must give up acting on his own. Otherwise, God will not carry out his will in it. So, leave all your things. Only give space to Jesus. That will be done. That will be done. When a great storm approaching, I began to say the chaplet. Suddenly, I heard the words of an angel. "I cannot approach in this storm, because the light which comes from her mouth drives back both me and the storm." Such were the angel's complaint to God. I then recognized how much havoc he was to have made through this storm. But I also recognized that this prayer was pleasing to God, and that this chaplet was most powerful, chaplet of divine mercy. Say, before the dying, not only before dying, any time when you maybe some problems, difficulties, some people making things worse, say this. I learned that a certain soul was very pleasing to God and that in spite of all sorts of persecutions, God was clothing this person in a new and higher dignity. My heart greatly rejoiced in this. The moments which are most pleasant to me are those when I converse with the Lord within the center of my being. I try my very best not to leave Him alone. He likes to be always with us. O Jesus, eternal God, thank you for your countless graces and blessings. Let every beat of my heart be a new hymn of thanksgiving to you, O God. Let every drop of my blood circulate for you, Lord. My soul is one hymn in adoration of your mercy. I love you, Lord. I love you, God. You yourself alone. My God, although my sufferings are great and protracted, I accept them from your hands as a magnificent gifts. Accept them all, even the ones that other souls have refused to accept. You can come to me with everything, my Jesus. I will refuse you nothing. I ask you for only one thing. Give me the strength to endure them and grant that they may be meritorious. Here is the whole being. Do with me as you please. Courageous, eh? Today, I saw the Sacred Heart of Jesus in the sky, in the midst of a great brilliance. The rays were issuing from the womb and spreading out over the entire world. Today, the Lord came to me and said, "My daughter, help me to save souls. You will go to a dying sinner, and you will continue to recite a chaplet. In this way, you will obtain for him trust in my mercy. For he's already in despair." You know, God comes not only for the salvation of souls, and just people is really, don't look at him. You know, Jesus really said, not because he's suffering, because man is stubborn, obstinate. We need to pray so much. First of all, pray for us ourselves. At times we are obstinate. When we see people obstinate, we are more obstinate. Don't think that you're better than anybody. No way. That's pride that makes us think we are better. Maybe you say you pray more, you come to church more often, and you receive a communion more fervent than the others, then you judge. By the time we judge already, I waste time. I want to finish this 2 pages. And today we finish it. I feel that there is a power which is defending me and protecting me from the blow of the enemy. It guards and defends me. I feel it very distinctly. It is as if I am being shielded by the shadow of his wings. My Jesus, you alone are good, even in my heart were to make every effort to write of your goodness, at least in part, I could not do so. This is beyond all our comprehension. One day during Holy Mass, the Lord gave me a deeper knowledge of his holiness and his majesty. At the same time, I saw my own misery. This knowledge makes me happy, and my soul drank itself completely in his mercy. He felt enormously happy. On the following day, I had a clear awareness of the following words. You see, God is so holy and you are sinful. Do not approach him and go to confession every day. And indeed, whatever I thought of seemed to me to be a sin, but it did not omit going to Holy Communion, and I resolved to go to confession at the prescribed time, as I had no clear impediment. But when the day for confession came, I prepared a whole mass of those sins of which I was to accuse myself. However, in the confessional, God allowed me to accuse myself of only 2 imperfections, despite my efforts to make a confession according to what I had prepared. When I left the confessional, the Lord said to me, "My daughter, All those sins you intended to confess are not sins in my eyes. That is why I took away your ability to tell them. You know, at times that's a temptation, no? So you see God is so holy and you are sinful, do not approach him and go to confession every day. It's not necessary. If the prescribed time is once a week or once a month, do it. Otherwise, you do too much. It's from Satan, the idea, you know, obedience. I understood that Satan wanting to disturb my peace. See, when you lose peace, the work of Satan has been giving me exaggerated thoughts. Oh, Savior, how great is your goodness, you know. One day, when I was preparing for Holy Communion and noticed that I had nothing to offer him, I felt at his feet, calling down all his mercy upon my poor soul. May your grace, which flows down upon me from your compassionate heart, strengthen me for the struggle and sufferings, that I may remain faithful to you. And although I am such misery, I do not fear you, because I know your mercy well. Nothing will frighten me or away from me, O God, because everything is so much less than what I know. I see that clearly. This is the end of the book. Now, the next might be there some, not some, next time we can finish the last pages, not yet the last. So we pray and humble. So when we want to come to Jesus, Satan always keep us away. At least he disturbed us. When you are not in peace, that means come from Satan. If you are humble enough, then you won't be disturbed. Many times you are disturbed because human words that hurt you, the people's reaction makes you sad, and you're disturbed, you're not peaceful. But be gently, tell Jesus, thank you Jesus, all these moments that I did not really follow your will, that I really only follow myself. Thank you Jesus, and trust to you. So we leave this spirit of simplicity, humility, purity of intentions, and love. Eternal Father,